Your time is now. Let's make this moment last.
Welcome to the 24-25 season of the Keeping Up Appearances podcast. Before you listen to this episode, please head over to our social medias and hit that follow button. You can find us on X at Keeping Up Apps and on TikTok and Instagram at Keeping Up Apps Pod. Please also hit that subscribe button on YouTube where we are at Keeping Up Appearances. I've always wanted to say that.
Have you bumped into his drone?
That doesn't make any sense. That's all you
mean. Ah, well. Take three.
What a great cold open that's going to be. Do you know what? I remember the other day that Max always seems to come on around the time of big guests, because he came on the week before Jamie Hutchinson last time.
Did he?
Yep.
And then the week after, Mr. Pease. No pressure. Last week's one of the best ever.
It was pretty good.
What time do you need to be off, Max?
I've got like 2 hours, I think.
Oh, yeah, so we'll be well done by then. Yeah. Yep. Tosh will be moaning after an hour anyway, so you're all right.
Well, but what am I moaning about?
No, I'm just talking about, because where are you going, Max? Germany?
Germany, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Jet setting. He heard Callum was in America and decided I don't want to be here. Don't want to be anywhere near him.
Whereabouts in Germany are you going, Max?
Going to Berlin for like 3 or 4 days and then to Munich for Oktoberfest, like two. Dressing up in all the outfits and all that.
How much is that? Have you had to rent that already?
No, Bianca bought 2 outfits.
You should have worn
the receipt.
How much are we talking?
Yeah. Don't get changed.
Mine was like 100 bucks, 100 quid.
100 bucks?
It literally was $100.
Right, just sorry before we start, this isn't ideal, but the baby's having a bit of a terrible sleep time, so if she wakes up I might have to shoot off, so and not shoot off, I just mean go upstairs so you can carry on, but if I go anywhere I'm just doing that.
Okay. You're off, Sean.
Yeah, right, should we get
dropping
started?
Dropping like flies now.
Well, no, mine'll be a couple of minutes, hopefully not permanent. Like
just
Callum.
Me and Bob left. It'll just be me and Bob left. What the public want?
That's all. Yeah, that literally is all he needs. Honestly, give it a couple of weeks. I'm going behind the camera.
I've been saying this honestly since day one. Not probably not to your face, but
when I said to you the other day, Tosh, I'm getting fed up now. I need ideas for why the podcast isn't growing. I think it's me. I think I just need to step away and it'll come
it
to
is just. Look on TikTok and your face pops up. Do you think, oh, it's Windridge again? I thought I got rid of him.
That's why we need you lot to get involved.
I've got three books. Sure. I've got 3 books here. Not as good as 100 books that Max just spent, but.
That's
terrible.
That's an unbelievable gag, that. Right, come on, let's get going. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Keeping Up Appearances podcast. We are still without Callum, thankfully, but instead we've got a very like-for-like replacement. So Callum's jetted off to the States, and we've got a friend of ours that did that quite a few years ago now. How long ago was it, Max?
10.
Is it, yeah?
The first time I went out was 10 years ago, yeah. Terminally 8 years ago. Yeah,
so he now resides over in Boston, and he appeared in Series 1 as well. He was a very popular guest, and we loved having him on. So we've got Max Burns back on with us. Thank you for coming on, Max.
Thank you for having me again. Very excited to be on this huge, successful podcast.
Plus, we'll get you nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, everything gets you nowhere.
It might get you a permanent slot if you do well, though, yeah, Max.
Yeah,
there's a space for grabs.
Yeah.
Two of them get my way.
Callum will be... Callum's a busy man these days, getting photo shoots by lakes. That's a full-time job, that.
I'm going to start calling him Zoolander.
Yeah, I love that one. Right. So we're going to make a start. And our opening game this week is going to be another game of keeping up appearances, which we haven't done for quite a while. And the premise of that game is quite simple. I'm going to give you a question that has multiple answers. Then we're going to go around each of the lads. They've got to submit an answer. If they get it right, they stay in the game and it moves on to the next person. If they get it wrong, they are out. That sound pretty clear?
It does.
Okay, so our question this week, I've actually got two. I don't know if you want two or just one. One of them's got loads of answers that are definitely gettable. One of them's quite a hard one.
Both.
No, they're both. All right. Okay. Yeah. We'll go with the easy one first then. So we go into the second one with a bit of confidence. The first one is I want you to tell me any player in Premier League history to have finished the season on 20 Premier League goals. Sorry, 20 or more, not 20 exactly. That'd be very specific. So 20 or more Premier League goals. I'll tell you, there are absolutely loads and loads of obvious ones. So I imagine we'll get through a fair few. So the order will go. I'll go my top left. So I'll go Bob, Max, Tosh, and then round and round.
Oh, already a disadvantage.
Oh, God. If I put him first, it'd be a disadvantage as well. Can't win with this fella.
We put him bowler.
I hate these ones as well. I hate these like goals ones. They're not my strong point.
No. Well, just so you know, I'm not going to be as thinking with the timer. I'm not that bothered, really. And it'll take me ages to check because there's loads. So, are we ready to start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, Bob, off you go.
10.
Out. He's out.
What did you say?
He's out. 10.
Who's he?
I'm confused. I wasn't paying attention to the instructions.
Next. I'm going with my Bob Max next, and it's down to 2.
Oh, no.
Max, go 11. Again.
I thought we were doing the bidding thing.
No, that's a wrong game.
Ah, okay.
I've stalled the time.
So,
yeah.
You know before, Bob, when I said, is that clear? You all went, yep.
Yeah, well, I like completely zoned out there, so just...
Oh, yeah, cheers.
I thought it'd black.
Obviously, in detail on which Leon Osman's house of games it was.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's finally got a mention because Bob would have cried if we didn't mention Leon Osman's house of games.
No, I right. Wanted it last
do
week.
Do I need to explain the rules again, Bob?
No, I think I'm all right now.
Okay.
Also, so much time passed there. Then I didn't even write one name down in that time. Absolutely ridiculous.
That's all Max did. Look at him.
I know.
I'm writing all my answers out now.
Right.
10 wasn't one of them.
Sorry.
Ready, Bob?
Should we start? Yeah. Kane. Oh.
Kane, correct.
Salah.
Correct.
Haaland.
Correct. Henry. I won't say correct because everyone get fed up. Just I'll let you know if it's not true.
Henry.
Shearer.
Yep.
Suarez.
Yep.
Giroud.
That's a mad shout.
I don't know why it popped into me.
That is an absolutely wild shout, and it's very much incorrect.
Get in.
Wow.
I should have just stuck with 10.
I think we got 10 in total.
Yeah, I was going to say, that we got 10.
And then you did a kamikaze mission. Right, Max, go on.
Fernando Torres.
Yeah.
Van Nistelrooy.
Yep.
Andy Cole.
Yes, actually, one of the only two people to have done it for two different clubs.
I'm sorry, I haven't been writing down what people have said. Michael Owen.
Ah. Famously never got to 20 in a season.
Did he not?
Seriously?
No.
Wow.
I knew he'd won gold. He won gold. He shared golden boot, didn't he?
Yeah, but well, not with 20. Maybe 18, 19. Yeah, never made it past 20.
That was bad.
That was absolutely atrocious. I can't believe some of the names you haven't got.
Well, Max, I had a few more. Like.
Max, just to cement it, give us one because that means you win.
Les Ferdinand.
He's been top scorer.
Yeah, he got it for Newcastle, correct.
So many names you could have got there. Drogba, yeah. Nelka, people like that. Berbatov. I had all them written down. I just thought Owen was a certainty.
No. There's honestly like so many that you haven't got. Did anyone have fun then? Because I didn't.
I did.
Who was the big ones you missed?
So,
George, do you want us to go again?
I mean,
no, I'm going to go again.
I've just said about four names out loud. They're my next four goes then.
I think you only said two.
No, untrue.
I'll give you two questions.
Lampard.
I was going to say Lampard, but I'm sure Owen maybe doubt everything.
No, Lampard is one.
Is he, yeah?
Yeah.
Does that mean I win?
I think so.
No. Yeah. There is, I'm going to give you the club. You'll tell me who it was. Nottingham Forest.
Colly Moore.
Correct. That was easy.
Wow. Ew.
Colly Moore.
Oh, I thought you said Bobby Moore then.
Is that game only applied to? Can you do that with other teams, or is it just Nottingham Forest?
No, I'm going to do one. I'm going to do a few more.
What a quiz
Leeds.
This is.
Leeds.
Hasselbank.
Viduka.
Viduka, it was 2002-3, yeah. Okay, just three for Southampton.
Letiz.
Ricky Lambert.
Nope. So Letiz is right.
James
BT is right. One more.
Marion Pahars.
No.
Wow.
Alan Shearer.
Nope.
Graziano Pelle.
Nope.
Charlie
more recent.
Austin. Mane.
Nope.
More recent.
Schlong.
No.
Dave Rodriguez.
Nope. Oh, very recent. Last 5 years.
Can't think of a striker they've had.
Bit of a journey.
Long.
Bit of a journey, man.
Oh, shit. What's his name?
Defoe. No, he didn't play Southampton, did he?
Was Defoe on the list? He was on my list. Defoe on the list?
Danny Ings.
Danny Ings is correct.
Danny Ings scored 20 goals for Southampton and Michael Owen never.
Yeah.
He never played for Southampton.
What about Andy Johnson for Crystal Palace?
I was just going to say, there's one for Crystal Palace, yeah. Andy Johnson.
Shout out, Max.
There's one other player that did
top goal scorer, isn't he?
You are?
What's he?
Wasn't he top goal scorer that year?
Yeah, he was. He shared it with someone, didn't he? Henry or someone, yeah. Or Vanessa Roy.
Oh, wouldn't I think.
There's one other... one other player. So it's not two clubs, but they moved halfway through. One player did it in the 2003-04 season across two clubs, so they moved in the January.
Nicholas Anelka.
No.
Oh, wow.
If I tell you what, it's one of the teams, you'll get it.
Craig Bellamy.
No.
Three, four.
Has played on Merseyside.
3-4, move Fowler.
No.
Heskey.
Nope. I was played on the blue side of Merseyside.
Oh.
Was he one of the two teams that he joined between?
No. Three Everton.
Louis Saha.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, shit. Yeah.
The king.
Right. Now, after that shambles, are we just swerving the second one?
No, carry on.
I think we might need to cut most of the first one out, so you probably should do the second one.
Absolutely. Disgrace.
Most of that first one can't go out.
Yeah.
I think I won that first one.
I'm actually disappointed because that was like there's so many opportunities there to just say players' names. Have you said Olivier Giroud after number three?
I thought we were just talking about handsome Premier League players.
The bubble's burst, hasn't it, since last week?
Yeah.
The bubble has burst.
I know one thing's changed since last week.
Yeah. That's what happens when you get yanks on the pod.
So ever since he said books, I noticed. Right then. Okay then. Now for everyone's favourite time of the podcast, Maroon 5. Last week's winner was, if you remember, we were looking at teachers' pets with our two guests, and the winner, quite a close one, was Frank Lampard. So Sean's nomination won. So Lampard's joined another great midfielders, as we always say, Pogba,
Platini and Jason Kumas on the island. This week, in honour of our guest, we're going to look at our favourite Brits abroad. So any player and slash manager, I think, who's done a great job abroad, we're going to nominate who we think is the best to see if he can go to Ireland. We'll talk about the obvious one at the end. I don't know if we've actually got an obvious one, but I'm sure we'll come to some sort of arrangement by the end. Bob, you can start us off.
I was really hoping you wouldn't say that because I'm going absolutely daft here.
No.
As we got Max on, who's, I assume, watches a fair bit of MLS football, I'm going for an English player that had a pretty nomadic career until he signed for the New York Red Bulls in 2013, then went on to become their highest scoring player, got a green card for his troubles, and is now some form of sporting director at the Red Bulls. I'm going for Bradley Wright Phillips. He scored 108 goals in 195 games for the Red Bulls. I just think it's a pretty cool thing for him to have done, to have not really made it, in inverted commas, in England. Then he's gone over to the best city in the world, or the base in New Jersey, aren't they? But representing the best city in the world, gone on to be a legend there. Despite still being in his dad's shadows, I suppose, from a football career perspective, then wound down his career at LA and Columbus Crew before returning in some form of director role at New York Red Bulls. So that's my suggestion, really. I really don't know why I've gone for this. I just thought it was quite cool, and I really like New York. And I thought there were too many obvious suggestions. I thought Tosh would have gone for one of the retro ones. Then there were all kinds of people like Beckham and stuff like that to talk about. So I just thought I'd go daft for a change.
To be fair, but I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting Bradley at first. I thought you were going to say some random Everton player who like played on Aldi somewhere. So.
Well, I did joke when they say I was going to go for Franny Jeffers because he played in Australia and Thailand, maybe, but I thought it'd go slightly, ever so slightly more sensible by going for Bradley Wright Phillips. And if Cal was here, he'd mention Yannick Bolasie because of their rivalry, is it? Or are they friends? I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're friends, but they have rap battles.
Yeah.
A bit like me and you, Sean.
Yeah, very much so. Ballad battles with you. I think in one of their rap battles, though, I think Yannick Bolasie, I think he says something along the lines of like, I might not be the MLS, but it's something like went somewhere because you couldn't hack it in the Premier League or something. Like, he actually used it as one of like his bars.
Well, what's Yannick Bolasie doing with himself now?
Well, yeah, I didn't know you were so petty. It took it so personally.
So we've got into a rap battle in ourselves, yeah.
But as you know, I really never liked him. He's now playing for some random team in Brazil, so
there you go.
That comment's come back to haunt him.
Well, not really. Bolasie actually had a good few years in the Premier League. What did Bradley Wright Phillips ever do?
To be fair, though, I think that's quite a good suggestion card from Bob.
No, he's I think in terms of if you think... No, I wasn't slagging it off, Bob.
It sounds like
you're you slagging off in the form of rap as well, which makes it much worse.
I wish.
I've just been dissed.
Yeah. Although, Bob, while we're on the topic of like music and that, would you like to share your songwriting escapades over from the weekend?
I haven't learned any musical instruments properly, so I need to properly accompany myself.
Oh,
and
I
need to work will it be on the second verse.
I need
pyrotechnics. I need that as well.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. So that's also coming up.
Future episode.
Imagine Max, the song of the week.
Max, how is Bradley Wright Phillips seen in America? Like, has he got a long-lasting appeal, or...?
I actually think he does, because, you know, when you think of players who go to America, they're usually towards, like, the end of the career.
Yeah, he went
when he was, like, 28. Yeah, he at League One side or something at the time? But then
Charlton.
So then he goes to America, and I'm pretty sure he sets, like, the league record for goals in that first year or the second year. And he was unbelievable for Red Bulls, and then it's just a weird one because he just didn't cut it in England and then goes there, and he's probably one of the best players to play in the MLS.
That's just a tragic.
But also, yeah, exactly. It does set, tell you, the standard of the MLS. And I don't know, I don't think you used to get CBS Sports with the Champions League during the week, but Thierry Henry this week was absolutely going off on the standard of the MLS, because they were talking about Pulisic and he scored against Liverpool. The interviews were a bit weird to watch, a bit spicy. I can't remember who the American interviewer was, but he was just absolutely ripping into the standard, even when he was there, because obviously he came after Wright Phillips, right, to the Red Bulls. But yeah, goals going
big,
record.
Big still, it,
record.
Yeah. He must have felt the pressure when he said, you've got Bradley Wright Phillips' position here.
I don't know if it's still the scoring record, though, is it? Could be.
It is for the Red Bulls.
How many?
Six. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
27, so more on a single season than Michael Owen ever managed. So
that's true. Similar sort of standard as well.
Yeah.
Hey, do you reckon Bradley Wright Phillips always invites the family over to America? Just so, like, for once, he can be the most famous person in the family. Because no one knows Sean over there. But then when Bradley comes home, no one cares about him.
Sean did actually go over there as well.
Did he, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
didn't bring no record, though, did he, Sam?
No.
He was too good for it.
Right, then. Yeah, I actually think quite a decent suggestion from Bob, despite Sean having a go. I think.
I agree, Bob. I thought it was a great suggestion.
Thank I'm you. Going next. I think I have gone a bit retro, so I'm leaving mine until we've had some other suggestions. We're going to go to our Brit abroad. I think Max is going to give us our first serious suggestion.
quite serious. I've gone down the coaching route, or route if you're American, and chose someone who I think in England is not seen for his European ventures, but I've gone for Sir Bobby Robson. So after his 10 years, Ipswich Town manager, obviously famously England manager, getting to the semi-final of the World Cup, he then ends up in Europe at PSV Eindhoven, which at the time was a very good team. That season, they didn't win the league before he got there, but the previous four seasons they did, including a European Cup win. So he takes over. They have Romario playing up top for them at the time, and he wins back-to-back league titles with PSV. Then heads over to Portugal to become Sporting Lisbon manager, where it isn't as successful. He finishes third in the league, but falls out with the then owner of the club and gets into a bit of a spat, and then gets fired, and then subsequently gets picked up straight away by Porto and becomes the new manager of Porto, where he obviously, which I'm sure we're all aware of, takes on Jose Mourinho as his interpreter, and then becomes his assistant manager at Porto. Another person, part of it, his coaching tree was Andre Villas-Boas, who was actually living in the apartment building that he was living in. And when he was 16 years old, he gave him a job at Porto in the observation department, which I'm sure a modern-day version of scouting or analytics. So he does well there. He beats Sporting Lisbon in the Portuguese Cup final that year, and then again wins back-to-back league titles before heading over to Barcelona to become their manager. That actually started the year or 2 years prior, when they called him about Luis Figo and the signing from Luis Figo from Sporting Lisbon, and he actually gets the conversation going there about becoming the manager of Barcelona. So obviously 2 years later becomes the manager there, signs Ronaldo for a world record fee. He scores about 47 goals in a season that year. They win the Spanish Super Cup, the Copa del Rey, and the UEFA Cup Winners Cup. And again, he has Mourinho as his assistant there. Only spends a year there, though, but he does win the UEFA Coach of the Year, which I'm not sure many British managers have done or can say they've done. Again, spends a year there, then goes upstairs to become the GM at Barcelona, which I think was down to the fact how they sold Ronaldo. Apparently, Ronaldo had signed an 8-year deal at Barcelona, which never happened, and then he ends up going to Inter Milan for a world record fee again. And then he finishes his European career back at PSV for a short while, where he wins the Dutch Cup and gets them to qualify for the Champions League again after a few years out. So I think when you think of managers, I like to think that there's two ways that define success, and one of them is like sustained success at one club, which is like your Alex Ferguson's of the world. And then there's managers who can do it at multiple places and go and win, which Bobby Robson was prior to Newcastle. And then there's managers like Mourinho, obviously, who worked with him for a long time, who definitely is one of those managers who bounces from club to club and wins. So a good person as well. I think at that time, you don't really think of managers as being ones who sort of are personable and try and get the best out of players. It's gone to the days of like the shouting managers, but he was one that players really liked and got on with, and he wasn't really a tactical genius, but he was a motivator. He was a classic man manager, and players and fans loved him alike. So there's a serious answer for you, Bobby Robson.
Great case put forward, I thought. I think there's probably very few people who've had that sort of legacy of like going to so many different places and so many different jobs at such like massive clubs. You think like even just like Porto are just a massive club, aren't they? And like, you know, let alone Barcelona and like PSV. And you think then as well, that's not even a bit like, you know, Roy Hodgson's obviously got a bit of respect in other countries, but like in England, obviously Bobby Robson did a great job with England, but also unbelievable success with Ipswich, winning the UEFA Cup, winning an FA Cup, like for a club like Ipswich. But yeah, I think that's a brilliant show. Not one that came to my head as well. So yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, I think at first, like you think like Terry Venables, don't you? Going to Barcelona and you know, Glenn Hoddle and managers like that. But yeah, very successful. And think of the players he managed as well, like that Barcelona team. There was Figo, Ronaldo, even at PSV, but Romario and those types of characters, and the people that came from him, like Jose Mourinho, Andre Villas-Boas, and even Frank Arnesen was his assistant manager at PSV, who goes on to be sporting director at Chelsea.
He'd have managed Pep as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would have, yeah.
Right then, unless anyone's going to, I think Max has done a great case there. We'll leave Sean to Lassie, did all his talking in the first round. My one,
I'm struggled. Off my case as well.
Yeah, he can't keep his mouth shut really, can he, Bob? Battling. I'm going to go a bit retro. I always like doing this, even more retro than Max, who's gone back a good 30, 40 years. And I'm going to give two honourable mentions, which are the first two I was going to do, and actually both closely linked to Bobby Robson, in that they could say they influenced more. They certainly had some involvement. Two people I've read about a lot recently. First one being Jimmy Hogan, who I think I've been reading a lot about the 20s and 30s, Austrian and Hungarian football, and I think his place in that is one of them things that no one would really talk about. Probably a lot of people listening haven't heard of. I certainly hadn't for a while. Up until very recently, sorry. And I think, you know, that influenced Hungary's football team in the 50s was quite a revolutionary one. A lot of coaches were influenced by him. That famous time when they beat England in 1953, the coach Sebes says something on the lines of, when our Hungarian football's history is written, Jimmy Hogan's name will be in golden letters. So I think I did want to do, but I thought that'd be a bit boring to talk about him. But it is a good book I read recently about him. Prophet or Traitor, Jimmy Hogan. First book of the week. Tosh's Book Club, available on TikTok, isn't that right, Sean?
Unfortunately not, no.
The second one is along the second one is along the similar lines. These are just honourable mentions. And that this is, again, the other thing was, sorry, I meant to say, he managed Bobby Robson as well. No, he didn't. That's with my next person, Vic Buckingham. Vic Buckingham was, some say, the original creator of Total Football. So again, another British fella, went abroad, managed Ajax a couple of times. He actually preceded Rinus Michels at both Ajax and Barcelona. He was also supposedly the person who found Johan Cruyff over there. Quite a modest career in England, but did manage Bobby Robson. That was the point I'd written that down to make that, because I read that last night when I was doing a bit of research. But yeah, another person. So again, just a massive influence on football there. The Hungary team and the Dutch team, two of the most famous teams in football, in the early part of football, you might say. But my actual one I'm going to say is, I'm going to go for an even earlier one, another person I read about and obviously haven't seen, but John Charles. I think played for Leeds in the early 50s and moved to Juve in, I think, 1954. I actually didn't write the year down, but in the mid-50s, it was actually moved to pay. There was a fire at Leeds' ground and they needed to raise money to fix the ground, and he sold the best player. Some would say the best player in the country at that time. Obviously, he was a Welshman. And in Juve, I think he's just absolutely still universally adored over there. That Juve team of the 50s, I was reading my second book, which I meant, forgot about my third book, is this one I read about Juve.
And it was called a part of a front three that was called the Trio Magico, which I'm not sure what that translates to. But Omar Savori, Bonaparte, and him. And I think he scored 105 goals in 179 games for Juve. He also played as a centre-back as well. He could play both. He played not just like... So he's very Dion Dublin, like some might say. I think that's who they compare him to in Juve. But yeah, I think absolutely loved in Juventus. Obviously, a bit of an earlier time, which again, doesn't have that lot of footage, etc., which doesn't go in his favour. But someone that I've certainly read a lot about and I've seen a lot about. And I like the idea of someone going to a massive, massive club like Juventus and being such a big legend. I think he played as well for Roma, but not very successfully. But yeah, he came back to Leeds, and I think he struggled back in Leeds. Having lived in Turin for a few years, so yeah, John Charles is the actual person to suggest, but only because I couldn't split Vic Buckingham and Jimmy Hogan. But yeah, my case, John Charles.
Are there any other chapters in that Juve book that we might be interested in?
No comment.
Okay.
It's really hard, Tosh, when you do your nominations, because we've never heard of them.
Well, you should hear about them, sure.
I've heard of them, but I read Cruyff's book, and I remember Vic Buckingham being in that quite a bit. But, and I know of John Charles, but I don't know anything about them, so I can't really.
This is the book that you need to read about Dutch football. Brilliant Orange by David Winner.
That, yeah.
Sensational.
Good, yeah.
He's a well-read man, Tosh, though, isn't he? So if he says something, it must be true.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Cheers, Bob. I'll tell you what, Bob. Like that.
Why are you buttering him up, Bob? He doesn't deserve it.
Because you were slagging me off before, so I thought
that means a lot, that coming from you, Bob. Yeah. But yeah, no, again, it's a hard one. Obviously, I had other people in my mind. I was thinking, like, the other one I wanted to sort of do was Kevin Keegan, just because he's great. But yeah.
Two Ballon d'Ors as well.
Two Ballon d'Ors, yeah, while playing in Hamburg. I remember during lockdown, they put on ITV4, like it was like at the time, Phil, when he was in like a documentary in Hamburg, just following him around, just like going to the shops and everything. It was great. Yeah, I just think he's a great fella, Kevin Keegan. An emotional fella, but a great fella. Got a lot of time for him.
So you took Brits abroad literally then? You just wanted to watch Kevin Keegan on Aldi?
Yeah, but it was just dead mad. It was on like during lockdown, when you put like mad programs on. It was like a documentary on like ITV4. And like obviously it was just like made in 1980 or whatever it was. But yeah, no, again, Kevin Keegan, you know, leaving Liverpool just after winning the European Cup to go to Hamburg and finish like hadn't been near the top of the league for years. Just, yeah, great story. But I've now nominated about five people, so I feel like someone else should have
a go. So you're nominating John Buckingham, is that right?
John Buckingham?
I was joking.
100 Buckinghams, how many it cost, how much Max's Lederhosen cost?
Oh, you're too good for this podcast, Tosh. Can you do your own thing, honestly? We don't deserve you.
Go on then, Sean. Wrap us up.
Stop barking, sorry. Right, go on then. So, yeah, this one was quite easy for me. Again, I'd like kind of like Bob. I mean, I've not gone niche like Bob, but I didn't want to go for the obvious ones. So I've gone for someone from the 90s who was probably, well, definitely was at his peak just before our time. We saw the back end of his career, which wasn't the most kind of glittering. And also, we now know him as a bit of a joke on the telly and all over Twitter, a commentator or pundit that 99% of people hate. So I'm going to go for Steve McManaman. And part of me was wondering if I could, it'd take me a while, maybe should have written a script, if I could do this whole thing in the style of Steve McManaman. So yeah, I was thinking about what my nomination would be. And as a player, from what I've seen of him, I know I'm probably going to get slagged off now because I've done two Liverpool players in 3 weeks. And I'll probably I'm glad Callum's not here. But when you
That's
watch...
That's why he isn't here.
What?
That's why he isn't here. Yeah. Because he keeps talking favourably about Liverpool players.
Yeah, and because he got his drone. Yeah, when you watch clips of him, like, he genuinely looked like such an exciting player. Especially the fact that he was like I don't know how tall he was, but he was just a big lanky bean pole, wasn't he? He didn't look like he should have been a winger or like a tricky winger. I don't know. It just almost like deceives a little bit. Yeah, and there's that famous or more well-known factor. Alex Ferguson used to act like actively fear him. He used to, like a couple of like United players have come out and said in team talks he would never really highlight individual players to be like maybe man marker to be wary of, but he always used to say like we need to stop McManaman, which I don't know, when you look at McManaman now, I don't think you ever think he was that good that the best team in the country were scared of him. So yeah, obviously he played for Liverpool for quite a while, maybe 8-9 years, something like that. Didn't do particularly well in terms of trophies or anything because Liverpool were in that weird middle ground, weren't they? Where they'd gone from the '80s where they were best team in the country, or sorry, in Europe. 90s didn't really do much, and then back again in the noughties. Did all right. Obviously they had that boiled kind of click there at the club with like
yeah. He scored in the FA Cup final for them.
In the FA Cup final?
92.
Oh, did he? I don't know.
He beat Sunderland, I thought he's on.
Oh, he did. He did, you're right. Yeah.
Him and Michael Thomas, if I remember rightly.
It was. He got the assist. No, did he score? He got the assist for Michael Thomas, I read, but I don't
did
know.
He?
If he scored.
Yeah, I might be right then.
But then it was, as it was a bit of a weird time, I think he then had ideas. He had big ideas, which at the time were quite big, which was moving abroad, going to Europe. And around that time, I know like there was a couple of players like Paul Ince was in Italy and places like that, but it was quite a big move. And Liverpool fans, from what I've read, didn't kind of look too kindly on it. So then he got that big move to Real Madrid on a free transfer, again, which is mad. The fact that like one of the best players in the league goes on a free transfer to Real Madrid, it just doesn't seem. I think that almost. If Steve McManaman, if we knew he went to Real Madrid for 20 million, I think we'd go. 20, 30 million, we'd go, yeah. Like he must have been a great player. When you found out it was a free transfer, I don't know. I think it makes you look a bit lesser on him. That was the Real Madrid team pre Galacticos as well, just before the Galacticos. But in that time, he ended up famously winning the Champions League with them, getting man of the match, scoring in the final, and kind of like winning the heart of the Madrid fans. Like apparently they absolutely adored Steve McManaman, which again, and he apparently loved it over there. He got really involved in like the Spanish culture, and he was just one of them players who they just took to. Even when all the Galacticos started coming in, because obviously they then bought Figo, McManaman still managed to work his way into the team. He was like in the Champions League and that in Europe, he was one of the main guys. It was like just a bit mad that you think this little lanky Scouser's just mixing it with all these unbelievable players. And I think when I look back at Steve McManaman, obviously that's my main memory of him, is like playing Real Madrid, Champions League, that kind of thing. But then there's always that question over England and stuff, because he also quite well known that he didn't play for England very often. And I wonder if at the time was, I don't know, you two might be able to help me if you know anything about this kind of thing, but would going abroad, would that have impacted it? Do you know the way now, if a player goes abroad, Harry Kane, Jude Bellingham, that kind of thing, they're almost like seem a better player than they are for that reason. Did McManaman going away, do you reckon that impacted them in not getting games for England?
I know where you're going, because I would say like players who played abroad in the 2000s, there wasn't many of them. Didn't get their opportunities. Remember, like Owen Hargreaves was playing for Bayern Munich for a while before he got his England call up.
Yeah,
but he didn't make the 98 World Cup squad, and he was at Liverpool at the time. So I think he just I the Liverpool players in the 90s who were part of that Spice Boys generation, I think were overlooked anyway. And so maybe it was already gone past that point. Then when he went to Real Madrid, because he was older,
yeah,
wasn't
maybe.
He?
I haven't checked this, but again, I think he did. He scores, doesn't he? I think in Euros, the first game in Euro 2000, when they were 2-0 up against Portugal, I'm sure he scored, him and Scholes scored the goals, I think. So I think he did play. And then, again, when he scores the goal in the final, I think that's 2000 maybe as well. So I think he was picked then.
Did he not? Was he not in the 98 squad?
I don't think. Oh, well, you don't, certainly don't see him in any of the games. I don't think he was playing. But again, he was sort. Yeah. He sort of played off the right, didn't he? More did he play off the right or the left? And Beckham.
He played your 96 then, didn't he?
Yeah, he was in 96.
Yeah, off of 98. Yeah, fair enough.
He was 2000, and again, was it might have been back. But again, I think that I think maybe there might be that case. I think certainly, as Max says, there wasn't that many. And I know the other country, like famously, like I think it was Aragonés with Spain, didn't like picking people who were playing in England the first. I remember Reyes was never picked.
Yeah.
And I think there probably was an element of that because there wasn't that many people. Maybe Beckham changed that sort of thing. Of, but I think as well, like, didn't he, I think, again, when they beat Barca in the semi, I think he scored in that as well, which I didn't know until recently. So again, just like, that's an unbelievable record. And that the goal he scored in the final is absolutely outrageous, isn't it? Yeah, like, that scissor kick, that is like, you've seen that now, that'd be just, like, go everywhere. It's an unbelievable goal, that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's, I think that's half what makes it, again, I'm not like, pitying Steve McManaman, he's had a great career, and all, like, definitely doesn't care what we think, but you just think, like, you're, like, clearly a great player who is now almost just a bit of a punchline on social media because he says "ing" and he's just a bit annoying.
Fletch.
Yeah,
Fletch. He's just a bit of a mess, isn't he?
Yeah, but like,
I do like him though. I
it's
all, like
it's
him.
Almost like tainted his career.
Yeah.
I think that. No, nothing. I don't think
it's on the same.
I don't think for me. I think across, if you said to football fans now about Steve McManaman, it would be, oh, what a divvy. It wouldn't be like, what a player he was.
Yeah, maybe.
He came back to City and just like had a couple of years, like just they were not in a City and then retired. Or I think he went like abroad or something, Australia or something like that. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a bit sad that like didn't have the England caps to fall back on. And then, yeah, it's just a bit annoying now, so people don't respect him. So I think it's a bit sad. But for someone that went over at a time, going over to Real Madrid, doing what he did, staying in the team at that time he did, was actually unbelievable. And it was a bit of like a trailblazer in that respect, in terms of, as I say, he was pre-Galacticos. And then not long after, he's followed by David Beckham. So, yeah, I think his impact in Spain is massive.
Did he? He was still around, I think, wasn't he, when he was Champions League, when Zidane scores that goal? Did he play in that final, or was he just around?
I think he'd have been around then, won't he? But I don't know.
Oh, he came off the bench, yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he
won two, didn't he?
Yeah, came on for Figo.
My memories of McManaman was like late in Liverpool's career, and Jamie Carragher brought this up the other day about Trent, how Liverpool fans went into foreign player. And they linked at Real Madrid, Barcelona. They're like, oh God, he should play for Real Madrid, Barcelona. It's like, Alonso going to Madrid, Suarez going to Barcelona. When it's one of their own, it's almost like they turn against them. And that's what I remember McManaman. So like, I think 99, didn't we lose to Everton at Anfield? Or maybe like a 1-0
last
time.
Yeah, Kevin Campbell, yeah.
And that was his last season. He'd already signed. He signed him at Bosman for Madrid. Yeah, so he'd already signed the contract like 6 months before. And I just remember everyone hating him. I'm only like kids at the time, but my dad hated them. And I think it was quite undeserved. And like I said before, that Spice Boy generation for Liverpool, you know, if McManaman had grown up 15 years later and part of this Liverpool generation, he would have been an unbelievable player for a long time. And I think he was one of those players that was affected by that. And just that like drinking culture, just Spice Boy attitude type thing.
I also think that generally the Spice Boys didn't win anything either, did they? Like, yeah. Gerrard and Carragher hung around long enough to win stuff. But like Michael Owen didn't.
No,
I don't mean that, like the snide treble. I mean like Champions League, that kind of thing, innit?
Yeah. All right.
I wouldn't mind a snide treble, to be fair.
I'm not gonna take my nose up at it, but I mean they should be. But even that, like you think even Liverpool fans at the time, as you say, Max, just like turned against them and you're just like the poor lad just for going. As if we'd ever say no to Real Madrid. As if Carragher would have said no to Real Madrid. The liar.
It was probably that time that the Bosman hadn't been kicking around along, wasn't it? It's probably seen that thing of like, you know, you've got this like unbelievable prospect and then you're losing them and you're not even getting anything for him. It's that, I think that it plays into it, doesn't it?
Whereas
I think now, even now, if that happened, like, say, like, I'm trying to think of an example, say, like, I know it's very different, but Everton with Barkley, there's a lot of anger about the way Barkley sort of left his contract a bit later. So we had to sell him in the January for cheaper. And there is that element of like, Everton, McManaman and Barkley are very different, I suppose. But like that around that time, that probably Liverpool might never ever have lost a player on a Bosman, certainly not maybe the best player.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the resentment there, as Max says. I can't remember. I genuinely don't remember him playing for Liverpool, to be honest. So
yeah, no, nor do I.
But yeah, but like even you know, we don't know a lot what goes on behind the scenes, especially yeah. them with like contracts and stuff. But in Carragher's book, he talks about McManaman was like one of the lowest paid players at Liverpool for a long time. Yeah. And Gerard Houllier forced them out. He forced out that whole group of players that was part of the earlier 90s team. Once again, with the Spice Boy thing.
It's Real Madrid as well, isn't it? But
yeah. It's Real Madrid, yeah. And he won two Champions League, so.
He had the last, safe to say, he had the last laugh.
Yeah.
Right then, are we saying an obvious one? Or are we just going to say like Jude Bellingham just because he's the most current one?
I mean, I think Gareth Bale.
Oh, Gareth Bale.
Bale.
It's got to be Beckham.
It's got to be Bale.
Bale, actually, I'm going Bale.
Why does it have to be Bale?
Are you talking about like success?
What did Beckham do?
What do you mean, revolutionise the whole of the country in terms of footy?
No,
in America.
Bradley Wright Phillips did that.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've already got Bradley Wright Phillips. Beckham. It's a pity you've got to decide and vote now, because I actually thought that was a great suggestion from you, Sean, and keep mine in.
No. No, we're just not having an obvious one, are we? Swear that.
Oh, I like the getting rid of one, but go on now, okay.
I can't get rid of one purely because of all I ever ask you to do is do a bit of research, and you've actually taken some effort this week to come up with compelling arguments.
You're definitely going at Bob again. He usually just thinks of what Everton player ever thought of this week.
Bob, well done for not picking an old Everton player for a joke. I'm keeping you in. Well done.
Thanks.
No, I can't get rid of anyone. I reckon we keep all four in.
If there was an obvious one, it should be Bale.
Yeah, it should be Beckham, but okay.
Our maroon forward this week, we have Bradley Wright Phillips, Bobby Robson, John Charles, Steve McManaman. So as always, get yourself over to X, have a vote, please. Encourage other people to vote. Let's see who will be joining Lampard from last week and the rest of the lads on the island. All right then, game of the week time.
Right, thanks, Tosh. So,
should we do an MLS? A couple of features.
Actually gave me a suggestion the other day as we're doing Brits Abroad. He wants to do European games.
Ooh, I like it.
So, I'll leave it in the capable hands of Mr. Burns.
I was just going to say while he's doing that, I didn't write down the scores. Did anyone have two all last week? I was trying to think for the Arsenal City.
I went City 2-1.
I had 0-0.
I had a shocker on Super 6 this week, Tosh.
Yeah, well, I wasn't much better.
So did I.
Absolute shocker.
Well, I had City draw. I had Wolves killed me. And you can see I had 2-1 Villa, and he scored like 95th minutes to make 3-1. Can I just ask one question? Did you think the Trossard sending off, what were people's thoughts on that?
I thought it was harsh.
I thought it was ridiculous that he can be sent off for that.
Yeah.
Last week, I watched that Chelsea-Bournemouth game. There was 14 yellow cards despite nothing happening in the game. And like, say, like there. And it just ruined the game, didn't it? And to be honest, I still quite enjoyed it with Arsenal playing like 11 players in the box, 10 players in the box. But I think they need to change the rule. Next week, change the rule, Sean. That's Maroon 5 next week.
Okay.
Max, count yourself in. You've won. You've won the slot.
wasn't that the topic last time I was on?
This is something about the yellow card one. I'm thinking
Keshi's Castle
should be a sin bin or three yellow cards. I think they need to bring something like that in.
Do you think they would have done that if they hadn't done it to Rice the other week though?
Maybe, but it still doesn't matter. Like, again, even the first one, everyone's just decided. Again, I know it is a yellow card these days, but that's just stupid that you can be sent off for two of them things. That's just infuriating.
Why is kicking the ball away such a big thing as well?
Yeah.
Do you know, like, we have multi-ball now where there's like a ball 3 yards away. Why is it a big problem?
And why have they just need to say that's it now? That's the one thing we need to sort in the game.
Yeah. Last year they were like, it was all about adding extra minutes on and all that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And now it's just like, every time someone kicks it away, they get fucked.
Like, no, it's just every Arsenal player. Yeah, Arsenal fans will love that. They love a conspiracy. If we get that, we'll get a few of them on board, Sean. Right, sorry, Max. Game of the week.
Yeah.
They've all got to be managed by Bobby Robson.
Well, you've nominated five people, so I wonder if any of them played for these teams. Probably did. So I've gone for top of the table clash in Germany. So Bayer Leverkusen versus Bayern Munich. A top of the table clash, well, near enough, in Spain, Atletico versus Real, so the derby. And then I had to throw in another one, a random one from Italy, Inter Milan versus Udinese, which is actually at the top as well. Udinese are third, Inter Milan are fifth right now. Hopefully not that one. Hopefully it's one of the other two.
I reckon I've got about three Udinese players in my locker at best.
I've got two.
Yeah. I honestly think I've got two.
Well, I've bagged the one that you know I'm going for.
Where did we find Per Koldrup from?
Yeah, that's definitely the one you were going for, Inibo.
No. Going for the goat.
Oh, okay.
I still don't know what he's talking
about. Let's throw these names in the wheel then. And this week, our European clash is Atletico Real Madrid.
Down.
Yeah, I have no idea. I've watched anything of them this season.
When did Gallagher Brit abroad?
Yeah.
When did the Vista de la Liga stop? Because that's when I stopped watching Spanish football.
That was such a great show, that.
Unbelievable, wasn't it? Was it Scott Minto?
Yeah, but it was remember like the blondish fella you presented before him as well. Like he was never been seen before or since. He's still hidden in Guy and Balaguer's cupboard.
Oh, he's a prick, isn't Balaguer?
I was going to say, he's had to find someone else to chat this absolute rubbish on, hasn't he? I tell you who's great here, that baldy Graham Hunter. I liked him.
Yeah, he was good.
And Jerry Armstrong, another Brit abroad, Jerry Armstrong. See? It all comes together, this is just seamless.
I know. It's always you as well, Tosh.
Well, yeah, I was thinking that.
I know you were. Right. Anyone got any thoughts?
Well, I've watched Real Madrid. They've been on the telly. They've been on ATV4 a couple of times. Real, I think Mbappe's not particularly firing, from what I hear. Is that right, Max?
Yeah, I actually get to watch quite a lot of the Spanish games because they kick off later. So on ESPN here, so it's a bit more reasonable time for me. But yeah, he's not been playing great. He scored, I think, three so far, and two of them been penalties, and then one was the other night in the Champions League. But I think they're in the same boat as what PSG were in when they had like Mbappe, Neymar and Messi. It's just too many players going forward. And
yeah.
But they got a manager who can make it work, Ancelotti. The last few games we've seen these two have been, they've had, I think, the Spanish Super Cup final and the Spanish Cup final at the end of last season. Both of them went to extra time with big scoring games. They had one that was like out in Saudi Arabia as well, that was like 4-3 or something.
Do they do the Super Cup there now, every time? Don't they do that like around about January or something? But don't they do it with like four teams as well, the runners up play and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember one, I can't remember, it was last year, a year before, like it was on ITV4, I think, and I think Real equalised dead late on, if I remember rightly. But
yeah.
Again, there was that spell, Simeone seemed to have it over them. This was, I'm saying, recently, it's probably about 5-6 years ago now. There was like a run, wasn't it? Like he seemed to beat them all the time. And then, like, they obviously lost the two Champions League finals before that. But yeah, I always had a soft spot for Atleti. I love the kit. So yeah, that's my only contribution. And Conor Gallagher plays them. And I've seen a video of, did you see Griezmann coming onto the training pitch singing a Gallagher song? I've seen that on the internet. It was quite good.
What's the Gallagher song?
One of the Oasis ones, probably, I would have thought.
Could have been Rory Gallagher, to be fair.
I actually don't know what the Gallagher song was, but I heard him singing it.
Yeah. I like Atletico mainly. I know it's classic, like Barclaysman territory, but them old men when they used to have them sponsors, like the Spider-Man sponsor.
Yeah.
That was iconic, that one.
It was a movie.
No, go on. I was going to say Real Madrid take themselves too seriously. They just get like Kill Bill on the tops and just have a laugh.
Well, they famously didn't have sponsors for ages, did they? Right.
Yeah. Wasn't it a movie studio?
The release was.
I like Hellboy on once, I remember as well. Torres with Hellboy in front of him.
Yeah.
Torres and Aguero, yeah.
Both could have been featured in the Keep You Up Appearances. Aguero never got said somehow.
10.
Right, let's get some predictions then. Max, what are you thinking, Max?
I'm going to go 2-2.
Tosh.
I will go 1-3.
1-0 to Atletico.
And I will go 2-1 Atletico. Right, should we get our number?
We have had Real Madrid, remember last time we couldn't get an actual number because I said Puskas.
Oh, God, yeah. Who's that, you say?
Richard Goff.
Right, come on then. Fingers crossed, Steve McManaman pops up. Right, our number, as always, between 50-450, and it is 233. Whatever that means.
That is disastrous, that. I think that's about the worst. You want someone, you want big or small, I think.
Yeah,
for
just middle
you
ground.
Someone, you want middle ground.
That's Tommy Gravesen gone anyway.
I want to have James Rodriguez play 233 times. I'm going retro. Anyway. I like going retro for European. Put all that reading to good use.
I don't know anyone.
I'm just wondering if anyone from the Quinta del Butre played 233 times. Do you know, Sean, or
what's that?
Oh, don't you know?
No. Look, I'm just showing up. Doesn't know any players that scored 20 goals.
Did Michael Owen score 20 in the La Liga? Or? The Vulture squad.
You what?
The Vulture squad.
How many games did Royce and Ricky Drenta play for Real, do you think?
Right. Can we get a song of the week then?
Something by the Royston Club.
What? Just because you said his name 3 seconds ago?
Yeah.
No, thank you. Anyone crack America? Who's like?
Leona Lewis.
I'm not against it. Anyone watching Strictly, by the way?
I missed this week, so the boxing was, wasn't I?
Shane Ward is the most annoying fella ever.
He's on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, I thought you were talking about cricketer.
He died about 4 years ago. So.
it would be a shock if he was on it.
They are struggling after the scandal, aren't they? So they have to wheel out dead people. Make it a bit more interesting. Rolf's going on next week.
He'd be gay, to be fair.
Someone who's cracked America.
Yeah. Max, anyone? Any Brits cracked America recently?
Recently? I don't know. I don't think it's as much of a challenge anymore, is it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Wasn't it something like around Leona Lewis when she had Bleeding Love? Not to keep mentioning Leona Lewis.
Is that Leona Lewis?
I was going to say that.
When that, I think I assume it was Bleeding Love. That was the first song since like Candle in the Wind, which had topped both the charts and the thing. So I think it's got to be Leona's Lewis, really.
Or Candle in the Wind.
Yeah. Candle in the Wind, 97 for the People's Princess. I'm going. She didn't do too well abroad, though, did she?
Or to bring Cal and his drone back in if he's in Minnesota. That's where Dylan and Prince are from.
What? No, we don't know who's from Boston, Max. Bee Gees, Massachusetts. There we go.
That's a good one.
Song of the week.
Okay. In honour of Max, and because Tosh has told me, we are listening to Massachusetts by the Bee Gees.
Bleeding Love.
If you want to listen to Bleeding Love, I would. It's an absolute banger.
I actually live in Rhode Island now, so that's ruined.
Ah.
Where's Rhode Island?
I'm still good.
It's a different state, isn't it?
Is it like the St. Helens?
Is it like the St. Helens?
Oh, Massachusetts.
I think it's like knowing the signs. You sometimes see like Twin Town. I think Rhode Island is St. Helens.
This one is genuinely impossible, I think.
Yeah, you say that and then you'd be like two out.
I bet you £1 million won't. Seems like my two guesses so far have been Tommy Grabson and Reese and Ricky Drenta.
What's the number? 233?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go for a baller from the 80s.
Big day for you today, isn't it?
Podcast day, or?
Yeah, but didn't someone take over Everton today?
Back on. I believe it when I see it.
He's the owner of Roma, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. They just sacked the manager after four games.
All right.
No one is Daniel De Rossi, legend.
Yeah.
I can't believe someone's going to pay 500 million quid for Everton. It's just insane, isn't it?
Massive, Bob. We're just massive, I'm afraid.
It's going to be the stadium, then the rest of it's just going to be all spent on Illiman and Dai being the best player ever.
It's not bad, 500 million for these days for Premier League club who have a stadium being built.
Yeah, but they're not going to be a Premier League club. Yeah, Premier League club for now.
What's it called? Wasn't the stumbling block at first the thing, because all his money, are they going to pay that now, or has that just not been said?
I don't know.
Because the 7-7 then, like the dodgiest people in the world, we still owe them like 200 million or something, don't we? So
you just sell Beto for that money.
I'll say it'll get you probably half of him die.
His left foot, maybe.
Is he that good?
No, he's unbelievable. Honestly, the best player I've ever seen. I'm only slightly over exaggerating with that.
He scored at the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did.
That was a good goal.
Like above him in my lifetime, I can only think of Tim Iribunum as being better than him.
Maybe Messi.
No, I mean for Everton.
I'm bloody Ray Phillips, apparently. I'm struggling here, you know.
I've got one, but it could honestly, like, not to sound like, you know, I've just picked someone I know the name of, played for them for about, I know, at least 3 or 4 years.
Can we have fictional footballers?
Well, you better not take mine. You have one, I'll have the other.
Okay. Would that be on transfer market, do you think?
Oh, imagine.
It should be.
Yeah.
I'll text Carl Miller and search it. I've got a few players anyway, so I'm just going to pick one. I'm ready whenever.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Right. Would anyone like to go first?
No.
Max and Tosh, you look the more confident out of the two of us, four of us.
They're not confident.
Go on, Max.
I got a couple. One that was mentioned, last week on this podcast, but I don't think it was that high. But I'm going to go for Fernando Morientes.
Was he mentioned last week?
No, the other one was mentioned last week, but I don't think he was that high.
Oh, I was going to say. I remember Lee Catamore last week, not Morientes.
Morientes. Did he score in the same final as Steve McManaman? I think he may have done. I think he may have scored first or the second in that 3-0 win. All comes together.
He was there a while. But
yeah, obviously... I think it's a good shout. I think that because but he also left like not too late. I doubt he'd probably have more. But
so yeah, and then also as soon as like he started buying all these players, and, like Raul obviously he's played, but he was there a while. Then he went to Monaco next, was he?
Yeah, well, again, famously went to Monaco when the rules weren't allowed that he could play against Real Madrid. And he knocked them out, didn't he?
Yeah,
as well as knocking Chelsea out. Right, I'm happy to go. I don't think anyone will have said any of my names, so I'm going to say my names. I was trying to go old. The most recent of mine, someone might have thought, I was thinking Fernando Redondo just for that goal against United. Well, not his goal, but the way he dances around. Who is it he dances around? Henning Berg, maybe? I'm not too sure.
I can't remember his name, but I did think.
Yeah.
He might be a good guess, but just...
But again, he could have played 500 times. He could have played 80 times. So I'm not going to go with him. I had two then names from the 80s. I think
not a great period for Real Madrid. Lost in European finals to Liverpool and Aberdeen, I think, amongst others. And they were Butragueño, who was part of their Quinta del Butra, as I mentioned before. But I'm going to go, I think he played for Real Madrid pretty much all of his career, so I think he'd be too many. And I'm going to go for a Mexican striker famous for overhead kicks, Hugo Sanchez. I know him, I scored a brilliant goal in the 86 World Cup for Mexico. But again, to my understanding, he's a bit of a cult hero at Real Madrid, so I'd like to think he's played more than 100. But again, could have played 500, could have played 110, so I'm not confident, but I'm going to go for him because he's a good name. He looked like a cool cat as well, so that's my guess.
Pretty good shout. Definitely good not to go for Butragueño. I thought he played a long, long time.
But... yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, but I'll start searching anyway. The two guesses that have been made. I'm showing out Bob.
Yeah, Bob, do you want to go?
Did we mention Aguero before?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, does that mean I'm not allowed him?
No.
No.
You can have him, yeah.
Unless if he's close.
He's on. He's on my list. But I'm going to go for somebody who's played for both and say Thibaut Courtois, but I'm not sure who I'm going to say for. Because I think he had a while at Atletico on loan from Chelsea, and he's been at Real for a while now, so I don't know where it'd be better. So I'll say Real, Thibaut Courtois.
Did he play for on ages at Atleti? I thought it was like just a couple of years. I don't know.
I think it was probably 3 or 4 years, and he probably would have been playing in a lot of competitions.
When did he go to Chelsea from?
No idea. I imagine somewhere in Belgium.
Oh, okay. Right, I'll
wasn't
go
it,
then.
Wasn't it after? Wasn't Chelsea after that? Go.
Yeah, but he signed for them, and then he went on loan. So he signed for Chelsea.
Did Chelsea buy him from Atletico?
Unless they loaned him back. I don't think they did, though.
No, I think the Atletico signed him on loan from Chelsea for a few years when he was very young.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, yeah, because he sort of replaced De Gea, I think, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, go on. So I've got a couple of names. I mean, I was going to say European footballers is my forte, but I don't think any football is my forte. So I've got a list of a few names. And every time, I think while you've all been talking, I've convinced myself that all of them are going to be the one I'm going for. And I've talked myself out of it. But I'm going to stick with one because I feel like centre-halves generally play, most games in the season. I don't think he was there that long, but he might be a bit. Yeah, he might be close. I don't really care. So I'm going for Fabio Cannavaro. You think that's too
little, as I said. But...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was quite old when he signed for them, wasn't
well,
he?
Well, yeah, he went after the World Cup, didn't he? But
he was like 34 then or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he famously played till he was 39. Played every game till he was 39. Yeah, I don't know. As I say.
I think he would have been better off saying Richard Gough there, Sean.
Oh, can't be that bad, can he? He's only played like half a season.
I'd be surprised if he's above 100, but...
Really?
Didn't he go back and play for Juventus after that as well?
Did he?
Pretty sure he did. Because they would have had Ramos at the time when he was young.
In fact, you know what? I'm going to go for Butragueño. I'm going to go for him.
Actually, Sean, might not be too bad.
Told you should have gone for the goal cast, Sean.
Oh, yeah. Gavino.
What was your other name, Max? You were saying you were toying with another one, weren't you? Who's your other one?
Paolo Futre.
Oh, yeah. Mentioned a few weeks ago, yeah.
I was wondering about Diego Forlan.
Sounds like a good shout. Max was testing me. He said, when I said Futre out of nowhere the other week, he said he's a bit of a hero, isn't he, Max, amongst the Portuguese community?
Yeah, they love him around here.
Why?
Portuguese.
Well,
where
I live is very Portuguese. My wife's Portuguese and her family.
Yeah. Oh, right. Did he love Beto?
Yes.
Get
Same
it.
Levels.
Right then, let's get the results then. The results are in fourth place, 115 out.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, so he didn't.
I can't believe he made 340 odd appearances. That's mad, that.
With 118 appearances, we had Fabio Cannavaro.
It's not that bad, really. Oh,
exactly, yeah.
I was expecting worse.
I thought less. Was he a Ballon? Did he win the Ballon d'Or the year? Did he win the World Cup as well?
Yeah.
Pick on Ballon d'Or winners, you can't argue with that, Sean. You're going for big names.
Exactly.
Everyone else was less than 50 out. So not quite as good as Sean's thinking. We're 279 and 46 out. Hugo Sanchez. So wow. Third place for me this week. Actually very close in second place to third place. So the first person first was a bit of way out, was 39 out with 272. Fernando Morientes, which means despite claiming he wouldn't, Bob has won again. Courtois for Rail, 243.
I didn't say I wouldn't win, I just said it was a difficult one.
I also had Courtois written down. But
did you?
Yeah, but
you had him for Atleti, didn't you?
No, I had his brother.
Apparently Hugo Sanchez, when I'm checking it, also played for Atletico Madrid, which I did not know. I'm going to Google Fernando Redondo quickly just to see if I'd won it with that.
Check Paolo Futuraia there, Tosh.
What's that?
Check Paolo Futuraia there.
I will do, yeah.
Do you not have internet over there, Max?
He's
there, making use of our facilities. He hasn't got the database we've got.
Yeah, that is true.
Right. It's good for the listeners, this as well.
I also had another name, but it would have been three away. That's so annoying.
Who?
Alonso.
Redondo was five out.
Wow.
What do you use for this transfer market?
Just start typing career stats. Right. Has it been wrong the last few weeks, or that could be a big problem?
Are you telling me Cannavaro played more? Don't come on, Max.
No.
Futre would have been 24 out, Max, so he wouldn't have won, but he would have been slightly closer.
So let's have a look at our updated table. So in bottom on 12 points is actually Callum. Can you believe everyone? I'm not bottom anymore.
How's that worked out?
And then in third place on 12 is me.
To be fair, actually, it should be based on most wins. So I think you would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And absences as well.
Yeah. And doing photo shoots with the drone.
Yeah.
You come bottom when you do that. In second place, we've got Tosh on 18. And up top, as always, is Bob on 24. Our guests have 5 points. Thanks to Max's three, so they are very much gaining on me. So we're not going to have any guests for a while. Just let me get some points. Right, we're done.
You need to finish it, don't you?
Yeah, unless someone else wants to do it.
Nah.
Bob does. I like it when Bob does it.
Yeah, Bob will have to write his script out, though. Bob can't do it. Bob can't do it off the top of his head. He has to put it to ChatGPT to get a bloody script.
Fuck off, Sean. That's the end of the podcast.
Max, if you sign it off, you can replace Callum full time.
That is enticing.
No matter how good it is, Max. You can just fart into the computer and it'd be better than Callum. Right. Thanks, everyone, for another great episode. Well, I'd say great episode. Started off
patchy.
Yeah, I'd very much say patchy. A shame, really, because we wanted to show Max how professional we were, and some of us, mentioning no names, didn't deliver.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
Thanks for a decent episode. Thank you, Max, for being a great guest, as always. Lots of research, and very knowledgeable, and yeah, just nice to catch up again. So thanks for coming on, Max.
He knows Paul.
Thank you.
He does.
That's he can't buy that.
He's well-travelled.
There's three of us here now.
You can't put a
price
on that.
Three of us here who do.
I know, yeah. Bob will catch up one day.
How many books would it cost for that kind of knowledge?
He learned at the school of life, though, didn't he? Don't need books for that. So, have a little look at our social medias, please. So, we've done, well, thanks to the two Mr. P's, we've done all right on engagement recently. We are trying to grow the podcast, and hopefully, if you have a little look, like, share, do that kind of thing, we can maybe get a few more eyes on us. So follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, that kind of thing, and check out any of our videos on YouTube. Until next week then, have a good one, enjoy the football, and unfortunately, Callum is back next week, so yeah, unlucky.
Are we going to get any content on the stag?
Cut the recording.
Me driving off.
Cancel the recording, so give me thoughts on the stag.
me driving into an estuary.
I'm being serious, stop it. I've got a few questions.
Okay.